Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Balkan Adventures podcast with me, David, and another glorious June Sunday afternoon. It's June the 11th at the moment, and I just, as you know, keep going on about the weather being English, I would, but just loving it. And stood in the garden next to the grapes, which are quite tiny and green at the moment, like oversized pinheads, but will, over the course of the next weeks and month or two, grow really fat and juicy, and we'll be able to eat them, and the ones that don't get eaten will then turn into a few litres of local wine. And the cherries, I'm just walking around, I don't know if you can hear me, I'm just walking around, and the cherries now just about shriveling off the trees. What cherries are left on the lower branches that we can pick off? They've been absolutely juicy this year. And while we're on the subject of fruit, the plums are starting to look... Let me see. I'm going to look down. They're just starting to grow, I think. Although it doesn't look like it's going to be a bumper crop this year. And the apples are small as well. But we're not going to be talking about fruit in the Western Balkans today. We're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. I've had a few podcasts dealing with entrepreneurship, and this one is the second, I think, that I've had on the channel to do with the Funky Gorilla. I caught up with one of the co-founders, Predrag Borijevic, a few weeks ago at a digital conference in Banja Luka. But as a result of that, he said, well, why don't you come up to Gradiška and find out what we get up to? So I did. I spent a good few hours with him and found out so much interesting information of the obstacles and the trials and tribulations of having a youth-orientated startup in Bosnia-Herzegovina. So, without further ado, this is me, the other day, on the border between Bosnia-Herzegovina and Croatia at the town of Gradiška, catching up with Predrag Bororevic to find out more about the Funky Gorilla. Enjoy.
This is the Balkan Adventures podcast.
Predrag, today I want to talk about the backstory, all the details about Funky Gorilla. First of all, in the store here, there's nobody, because I believe this is a quantum change for the operation, that it's no longer going to be open to the public. So, first of all, before we go into talk about the history of Funky Gorilla, why are we stood today in a rather empty store, in a way?
Well, it is. It's true. We have closed our first retail store after 2 years of operation. It's one chapter closed, and we are ready to open a new one.
We're going to find out about the new chapter in just a minute, but let's go right back to the start. When did the idea for Funky Gorilla first come to life?
Well, the idea first came to life in about 2013. And the background story is very much related to the NGO, which we have established here in Gradiška, which is called Association Most, where we worked mostly with young people as of the very beginning. So in 2013, we were working with the municipality of Gradiška on youth policy. We did a rather big research on the needs and the way young people think generally in Gradiška. We had a rather big survey with 930 people interviewed, and 73% of them identified unemployment as their main problem. So we were thinking, you know, how can we tackle it? We are a small NGO in a small town in north of Bosnia. What can we do to kind of change that with limited resources, with no capital whatsoever? How can we just try and scratch the surface? And so we were thinking, we can maybe talk about entrepreneurship, we can have different workshops, we can motivate young people, but it would be kind of meaningless because we would be talking about something that we never been through. So how can we transfer a good message if we are not talking on the basis of our experience? And usually that's kind of recognizable. When you just speak in theory, we have witnessed it in Bosnia quite a lot. You know, different theories, they function well, but when you try to implement, they usually fail. So we said, okay, let's do something on our own. Let's establish a business. Let's try to make a product which we can actually feel, which is real in real time. Let's make a product. Let's place it on the market and brand it to have that added value and see if it's doable. And in the meantime, in the process, we will be working on education, but we will also be going through the same process as we will be offering to the young people in Gradiška. And we had that idea in 2013. We applied for a grant funds from Youth Employment Project in Bosnia, which is financed by Swiss Development Corporation, SDC. And in 2014, we received a grant to pilot our idea. And we were, of course, very optimistic, very eager to do it. You know, it's so easy. It will all go smoothly.
Yeah.
And first we said, okay, we will be in the textile business because we have the know-how here in Gradiška, the investment to start a production facility regarding clothing production is not that high. So it's doable with less amount of initial capital. And there are not that many brands, local brands and Bosnian brands present in the country. So we decided to go with manufacturing clothing and developing our own brand. Of course, we had absolutely no idea about textile industry, about how to produce clothing. So at the very beginning, we faced, you know, different challenges. Okay, which machines do we need? So we need to go and talk with suppliers. We need to go buy certain machines, but we don't know which ones. So we had some funny situations and went back home, studied, talked with different people, and just trying to put all of the pieces of the puzzle together.
How many people were doing this? Because, you know, surely it wasn't just you, was it?
Two.
Two?
It's two of us, yeah. Me and my friend Igor, we still work together. He's still a part of Most. It was just the two of us trying to figure out how to implement this idea into reality. And slowly, we were lucky to identify people who would join us. And we got people who know, engineers who know how to create new products. We got textile designers who would join the team and present their designs. We got local people who would do the maintenance of the equipment. We received several contacts with suppliers, from repro material to machines that we need, to sewing threads, to, I don't know, labels, etc., etc. So slowly we began putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Were you worried, scared, or even terrified during this initial phase?
It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. One day you're absolutely, you know, positive, excited. The next day you want to cry, thinking, wow, can I actually do it? Why did I even started this? So it's excitement and fear. But I think it's a normal thing when starting something absolutely new, brand new, that you don't know where it's going to end up. So it's that mix of happiness, excitement, and fear at the same time.
You know, here in Bosnia, yes, there are successful businesses, but there are not many that you can hold flags up and wave about it. And sometimes I have the feeling that deficit, if you like, of experience is one of the biggest obstacles here. I mean, how many people were you actually able to go that had experience to say, hey, look, I'm going through this, what's your advice? Or were you really like on a desert island?
Well, not really. We had... in a way, support from the local community, primarily, you know, friends, people who are close to you, who have their own business, either it's a small scale business or maybe a business that employs 10, 15, 20 people. But they were supportive. They were supportive in terms of certain recommendations, you know, pay attention to this, pay attention to that. So we had support. But of course, that support is just maybe an advice or a general direction where to go. But in the end, it's up to the people who are actually starting a business to go through that path. Of course, there's a lot of bumps on the road, and we managed to establish the production facility. We had everything in place. We were, in a way, organizing non-formal education for primarily young women from rural areas to get that know-how, how to create a business and how to actually work in the textile industry. And we said, okay, we will have education for maybe 15 to 20 people. We will provide the know-how to them. We will keep some of them because we don't have the capacity to employ 50 or 20 people. And we will try and raise their employability skills and then recommend them to other companies.
So like capacity building for the local community. I mean, if somebody else has got something similar, then you've already provided them with a trained work base.
Yes, that was also the general idea. And a lot of people went through those educational activities in our company even after we established, and the ones who were good were able to find employment in other companies as well.
So you've got this clothing company, you've trained people up. At this stage, do you have this wonderful store? Do you have all the infrastructure ready to go?
No. We had an online shop set up. So when we established the company, it took us about 2 months to develop our first products, to produce them, to have something in stock. And then we launched our web store, thinking, oh, it's the best web store in the world. You know, it came from the heart. It will go wonderful, you know. But first, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days, it went absolutely amazing. But then we ran out of friends and family who would be buying it.
But friends and family are important, right?
Friends and family are very, very important for that first step to give you the boost, and then reality kicks in. So then we were like, okay, after 1 or 2 months of the web store being present, maybe we are not getting to that break-even point. If we continue like this, we are in a trouble maybe. And, of course, that's when that reality kicks in. We came from the NGO sector, where pretty much all the services that we provide are free of charge. We work for the community and with the community. And now we find ourselves in a different position. We have a product to sell. So selling something and offering something for free are two completely different mindsets. So we had to, in a way, change our mindset to be business-oriented, but also preserve that social aspect that we cherish so much and that we always focus on.
Did you find that change difficult?
I think yes, because it took me personally almost 2 years to to actually overcome it.
From being a provider of services to the community, which NGOs are basically there for, to being a businessman, would I be right in saying that you then most probably feel a sense of selfishness in a way because you have a product and it has to be market-driven?
Well, it's not selfishness. I would say I'm a divider personality, depending which role I have to take at the moment. Because problem with being on the market is that you depend solely on the sales, on your, in a way, income from selling the services and products you make. Without it, we cannot preserve jobs, we cannot invest in new products, it will all collapse. So it's a necessity. It's a necessity that we need to have. And it took me a lot of time to accept it and also to be confident enough that the product we are making is actually of good quality and that it has a certain price. So now I think I have mastered it. Of course, there's a long way to go and the learning process in business never stops. And in any business, be it NGO, be it for-profit, non-profit, the learning process has to be present always. And we are still trying to develop and to develop our mindset, to develop the team, to develop everything. And I think being in that role where you have to be for-profit oriented on one side and non-profit oriented on the other side is very challenging.
If we go back to the the first stab is let's get this web store. How difficult was it to do? I mean, this postage, especially if people are buying internationally, that is a problem here in Bosnia Herzegovina. Taking other currencies, mm-hmm. It must have been a bit of a nightmare. But you obviously seemed to overcome it somehow initially.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. The logistic process, how to deliver. delivering internationally, we thought, okay, we're just going to start with Bosnia, and then after several months, we'll go international. It didn't happen at all because sending, receiving payments and sending it outside of Bosnia is relatively expensive. So there is that logistical barrier present. We had requests to send abroad to export, but then the price of shipping and the customs would be twice the price of the product itself. So for somebody buying outside, it's not really feasible, and for us as well. So we kind of focused then on Bosnia-Herzegovina, delivering in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and then we explored in a way the potential to offer our services to other people and organizations and companies and so on. So then we said, okay, we have Funky Gorilla, we have our brand on one side, but we need something else. We need to have financial income to sustain everything, because Funky Gorilla cannot, at the very beginning, produce enough income to cover all our costs. So then we said, okay, we will diversify our product portfolio or service portfolio to have maybe two pillars where we can stand. So if one fails, we have this other one to sustain us. And so we started providing also services to other clients, like sewing services, production of custom-made clothing for different events, for different purposes. And with that, we managed kind of to overcome certain problems that we were facing. As I said, it was a process. It was a constant process of trial and error. You expect one thing, you go for it, but then it turns out to be dead end. So you have to go back, restart, start over. Then again, you hit a rather big wall, and you come back, say, regroup, and...
So it's this, you get hit, stand up, yeah. You go down, you stand up, you go down, you stand up.
It's that gorilla spirit.
yeah. You know, we're here in the store that is about to disappear as everything goes through the next phase. But if you didn't look through the window today and see the grass and the center of Gradiška here, this could be a small store on Oxford Street in London. It really could. I mean, look at the decor and the way the shop is dressed.
Oh, thank you.
How radical has it been for people to realize that they have what is like an amazingly international looking store in a small provincial town right on the northern border of Bosnia-Herzegovina?
Well, I think people loved it. But again, there's a economical mismatch of their ability to afford more expensive clothing than the ones on the market, which we are facing. We want to have high quality product, which will have a higher price because we want to have decent salaries in the production, limited quantities produced. It's something that's expensive. So our product is not cheap when compared to maybe other offers here in Gradiška. And with people not having a lot of money, a lot of ability to afford products. We had people coming in, but the income was not something that is, in a way, sustainable in a long run. But when we said, okay, we are regrouping, we are scaling up, we are, in a way, developing, going on the next level, we said maybe the store is too much. We will try and go wholesale and offer it to different stores here in the city and throughout Bosnia-Herzegovina. And we had a sale. We had a lot of people coming in saying, wow, we are so sad that the store is closing, that it's not going to be here anymore. So from all of the feedbacks that we got, people loved the store.
Do you think the nostalgia in the future when everything works as to, you know, maybe dream is the wrong word, to your business plan, do you think it would ever come back again?
I think it will. I think it will. If we succeed, it will definitely come back. and it will be in a way a base for us to come, because this was more than a shop to us. This was like a meeting place, you know, an idea place where we would think about different things. And I think for me personally, I would love for the shop to come back to be in the place where Funky Gorilla started.
The next phase is about wholesale. It's about scalability. And I just want to talk to you about that, because when I speak to small entrepreneurs, those that still want to go through the pain that you went through, it surely comes to every one of them that they're going to have to think about scaling up, that they can't sit in their bedroom making their jewelry or printing their wonderful pictures that they take on their camera or anything else. How difficult has it been to devise your scalability plan?
Well, it has been difficult, primarily because, for example, getting an investment in Bosnia is not that common. It's not that common. So I apologize. I will just turn it off so we can have a normal conversation.
Okay.
That's one of the side effects of
But that's business. Phone, that's business.
Yeah. The phone is always ringing. Getting an investment in Bosnia is not that common. And being investment ready is also something that requires a lot of preparation and a clear vision where to go, which is doable only if you went through that process of making mistakes and then recognizing the niche, identifying it, making a real plan, and then going for it. For us, it's, as I said, it's an involvement process. And after being in operation for almost 3 years now, I think we have went through that birth pains, and we have learned a lot of lessons. And now we have, in a way, a clearer and more realistic vision, what is doable and what is not. And we want to use our own experience to in a way, advance on the market. So we want to offer Funky Gorilla products in wholesale. And we want to, again, offer services to other people and other companies. So we are, again, sticking to that diversified approach of creating our own brand, but developing in parallel with the services that we provide to other clients.
When you started with the web store, and most probably having dreams of exporting the Funky Gorilla brand overseas and then realizing it wasn't possible then, with the wholesale approach, do you think you'll address the possibility of trying to get a brand from Bosnia outside the borders of Bosnia?
Yes, we have already, in a way, plans. And if all goes well, maybe even next month we'll be in Maria Hilferstrasse in Vienna. We will see.
Are you saying that maybe now that the horrendous customs import and export duties may be changing for the better for entrepreneurs?
Well, yes. Regarding textile, last month we had our first export, which we are very proud of. And it went well. The customers outside Bosnia are very satisfied. So we are now pursuing that challenge of being also an export-oriented company. And the customs, I mean, it's something that has to be done. So it's not an obstacle that cannot be overcome. I mean, it's something that's there, and it's easily doable with following the right procedures, and there's no problems of having a larger export outside. It's a problem when you have to ship, when you work with clients outside, when you have to ship, for example, one t-shirt, but when it comes to like business-to-business cooperation, it's not that complicated.
And I want to go back again to the start. When you started, it sounded like you, when you had this idea, like you were flapping about in the water of a swimming pool, not really knowing how to swim. You now know how to swim. Is there any plan for the organization to give the experiences that you've got to a new generation of entrepreneurs, because sadly, entrepreneurship isn't taught or even mentioned in most universities at the moment.
Yes, well, I will now switch my personality to the NGO side. We have applied for a program, and if successful, we will be establishing a non-formal education resource center where we will try and provide primarily non-formal education to young people to get their skills up, the skills that are needed on the market, primarily IT, get their employability up, so we kind of bypass that mismatch between the skills that people have after finishing their formal education and the needs that the companies have for human resources. We will try and offer, of course, free services to try and bypass that gap and connect young people who want employment, who lack skills, and companies that need, in a way, functional human capacity. And we will also offer trainings when it comes to developing their own business, promoting that entrepreneurial mindset, and trying to offer something to young people that they can actually use. And we are also, you know, we're negotiating with the local community to establish a small startup fund for young people who are unemployed, so they can also, in a way, create their own idea, get that, in a way, motivation and know-how, but also maybe certain financial funds so they can overcome that financial burden which every entrepreneur faces at the very beginning of their venture.
It seems that this pay-it-forward mentality that you have, both in a commercial and in a non-commercial environment, could be something that could unlock the future for the country. It could be that here in Gradiška you found the key that the international community have been looking for over 25 years.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but
when you think about it,
well, it's something it's a live organism, you know, the whole ecosystem, like educational ecosystem, if we can call it like that, or entrepreneurial ecosystem, is, I would say, kind of stuck somewhere, and there needs to come from the bottom. It needs to evolve into a healthy organism, and in order to do it, it needs to go through various illnesses and pains so it can grow strong and organic. Because if it's, you know, if it's DNA, if we insert something from outside and say, okay, here's the scenario, you need to do this, 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 and this, it will most likely not work, because it needs to be suited to the local circumstances, which are sometimes very complicated, from bureaucratical, political, economical, historical, etc., etc. So I think it needs to come from the bottom. And with the new generations of young people coming, I think it's slowly changing. And we don't know where it's going to go. It can go in a bad direction, in a good direction. We are hoping it will go in a good direction. We are trying to put good examples out to motivate young people to follow a certain path, but we never know. And it's about trying. We want to share our experiences. We want to, in a way, send a message out. And we cannot order anybody to follow us, which people make mistakes when they, if we have an idea, you must follow this idea because it's the best. That's not something I like to say. We say, okay, we are doing this and this. If you feel like it's something you recognize as good, feel free to follow. We are here for you. And that should be the approach that we take. And hopefully with positive examples, if they start to multiply, then it will become, in a way, a viral effect.
Today, we've been reading the first couple of chapters of the Funky Gorilla book. There are many chapters still to write and for people still to read. But seeing as you're one of the authors of it, how do you see the final page of the book?
Well, I wouldn't have the final page.
You'd be more like a Harry Potter. You'd go from volume to volume.
To volume. Because if we set a final page, then we lose the challenge. We lose the thrill of it. So I would leave the final page blank. And we still haven't succeeded. So it's... And God knows if we ever will. Because we can set maybe certain goals, but... The ultimate goal, I think, will never be reached, which is, you know, having a prosperous society where we all work, where we all have, in a way, that sense of social good within us. So I think it's a process that will never end. So that higher goal is that blank page where we are striving, but it is important to go one step at a time. So... The next volume is us trying to develop it even more, to try and develop the gorilla community, which means people with a similar mindset that we can work together, we can cooperate, we can create good things, we can be very good at it, we can be world class, why not? We have the know-how, we have a lot of good people who have amazing skills, and if we combine them together, if we offer something good, I think we can make it. But it's not something that happens overnight. It's a process, it's an ongoing process that will take probably years, maybe even decades. But persistency, as we talked earlier, is, I think, the key to success.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.